in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we have a vision. A vision of God for Isaiah and for the people. And I got to tell you, Isaiah had a really hard job. Isaiah's job was to give people hope in a time when there didn't seem to be any hope. So Isaiah starts out his ministry telling people, you're not doing the right thing, and if you don't do the right thing, there are going to be consequences. And he says it over and over and over again, and guess who listens? Nobody listens. No one listens to Isaiah. And so his people, God's people, get taken to exile in Babylon. Their cities are leveled. Jerusalem, the city on a hill, is leveled. And they are taken away. And you know what Isaiah does? Isaiah sticks with them. It's pretty incredible. He stays with them during this time. And then at the end, he's there when they return. And you would think that returning would be a super exciting thing, right? They're returning. Woo! But what do they return to? They return to rubble. So I was going to ask you to use your imagination to imagine what Jerusalem looked like, but my guess is you don't have to use much imagination if you watch any bit of the news. So I was thinking about Syria particularly right now, and if you have watched any or seen any video or pictures of what Syria looks like in the midst of this destruction that's happening on the border, you are watching entire towns and communities that are leveled. There is nothing but rubble where people lived, where they went to school, where they shopped, where they worshiped. All it is cement that has crumbled. And so this is what the Israelites walk back into. And so they're excited. They get to go home, and it's wonderful. And you can imagine the joy on their faces until they see it. And they're not happy. They should be, but they're not. It's just like Pam said, we're not always happy, are we? But it is almost like they've been given an empty bag. They've been given a clean slate, a blank canvas, something for them to vision about and what it could look like. But I don't know about you. Have you ever started a project and been really excited about it, and then about like 3 of a million steps in, you get overwhelmed? Has that ever happened to anybody? And they're overwhelmed. And they're not really sure what to do because they look around them and they think, this is not what we want. This isn't what we dreamed of. And so Isaiah speaks this word to them, this beautiful word about this beautiful world that they are going to build together. A vision. Some might call it a dream, but I don't like that word for this because a lot of times dreams don't come true, do they? Most of the time, actually. In fact, that's actually one of the questions Isaac asked me this morning. Did you dream anything last night? I didn't. But usually the dreams I have don't necessarily come true. So what I want to call this for us is not a dream, but I want to call it a project. Because I think we understand projects, don't we? And projects don't just happen because we dream them. Projects are completed because we do what? We work, right? We like work. We have to work to make a... June's back there laughing because she's a project manager. She knows what happens when people don't do their work, right? But projects are something that we have to work on. And usually we work on them as a team. Usually we don't do projects by ourselves. So can you imagine this vision as a project? The thing that each of us are working on. And I say we because I think we can switch it. Because I don't think this project is done, is it? We still live in a world that doesn't fulfill this vision. We live in a world of, in many instances, decaying cities. So if you drive around Charleston, there's a little bit of everything, isn't there? Or North Charleston, or all over this area. You find dilapidated houses and neighborhoods that look like they're just barely hanging on. And then you also see billion-dollar hotels going up right next to them. And so sometimes I think we can look out among us and say, we may not be total rubble, but we're not perfect. We know that we live in a day and age where not everyone gets to live past 100. We live in a day and age where babies die. But can we say that the opposite of that should not just be a dream? But it could be a project that we are included in on? That we are the people that do the work to make, with God's help, this project a reality? What does it look like for us to build houses and inhabit them? And plant vineyards and eat their fruit. What does it look like for us in our community to work in such a way that people can afford to live here? That people can afford to own a home? Can we work toward that? What does it look like to not labor in vain or to raise children for calamity? Does it look like not spending billions of dollars on weapons and instead investing in education and in schools and in our children and in our youth? Can we be a part of that project? What does it look like for a lion to lay down with a lamb. What kind of peacemaking does it take for us to get along with those folks who are different from us? And I, like you, maybe sometimes look at these dreams and visions and see how far away we are. And I get a little overwhelmed. But that is when I hear the voice, the advice that says, do the next right thing, right? How do you eat an elephant? What is it? One bite at a time, right? You eat an elephant one bite at a time. You finish an IKEA bed by ticking off the numbered marks on the instructions. You finish a project like this dream and vision that God has for the world by doing the next right thing. The question for us is, will we join in? Will you agree to be a part of the project? Will you commit to making this dream a reality with God's help? And I say in many ways that you have already agreed to do that because you are here. Many of you, maybe not everyone here, but how many of you are baptized? When you were baptized, into the project management team, to the church. You were initiated into Christ's body, the avenue for completing the project. That is what happens in baptism. And so, are we living out our baptismal vows? Are we living out our baptismal vows? And let me read them for you so that you can hear what they are. So that you know. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, this is what we ask. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people. It seems like such a good set of things in order to start this project here and now. If you read over them, if you do the next right thing, I promise, just as God has promised, that we will reach a day and a time when no one will be harmed on Christ's holy mountain. It's not a pie in the sky hope. It is a labor of love. And it will require us to do major work in our lives and in the world. A And God is inviting us to do the work with God. Let us pray. Lord God, we are grateful for the hope that you have given us, that in the midst of a world that has so much sin and darkness, that you don't call us to be Eeyores, but that you call us to work for something better and more beautiful and more perfect. Be with us, Lord. Be with us. Amen.